Miami Herald readers lost a fixture this week when Carl Hiaasen wrote his final column for the paper after 35 years. Hiaasen began at the Herald as a young reporter back in the late 70s. But if, like us, you're a fan of his writing, don't worry, he's still going to be working on novels. His latest, Squeeze Me, was a bestseller. And as he says in his last column, he'll never stop writing about his bent, beautiful, and infuriating state. Carl Hiaasen joins us now on Skype. Carl, welcome back to Here and Now.
It's good to be here.
And congratulations, I should say, on a beautiful career. How does it feel? No, really, how does it feel?
It's a strange feeling. My work week was always anchored around the column I wrote for the Herald, and now that anchor is gone. So the question is, do I have enough self-discipline to continue the rest of my writing, or does it all fall apart?
And what do you think? Do you?
I will find out. Ask me in a year.
Well, here's what I don't understand. You know, you're a famous novelist. Why did you bother with the newspaper job for so many years?
Well, as I'm speaking with you now, it's the first time since, God, I went into the business when I was 21 that I don't have a day job. You know, I mean, I always hung on to my newspaper job, and the Herald was obviously the longest one. And I just felt like that was legitimate. I mean, I was gonna get paid for doing that, but you don't know that with novels. I mean, the public's attention span is short, their appetite can be short. But I also felt, and I'm not joking when I say this, an obligation, because, you know, I was born and raised down here in Florida, and I felt lucky to be able to write for what was sort of my hometown newspaper. I grew up in the Lauderdale area, but I grew up reading the Herald. And the idea that I could still work there and still be relevant and still be able to weigh in was important to me. And the other thing was, you know, that the jolt you get from journalism, daily journalism, it's a completely different kind of high. You know, you write a book, you finish a novel, and there's sort of a gestation period before it actually shows up, you know, in print. And it could be 9 months, could be a year, could be a little shorter. But, well, you know, you write the column and bang, it's in the paper, and it's that instant shot, you know, that instant adrenaline shot. And I didn't want to give that up.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you for sure. Why don't we talk about Florida? Because your home state really is at the center, not only of your novels, but also of your columns, of course. How much has it changed in the decades since your career
started? Oh, my God. You know, since I've been there, I mean, about 1,000 people a day move to Florida still. And I don't know how many depart one way or another, either spiritually or in U-Hauls. So I don't know what the net gain is. Imagine a country growing that much and by that many millions. So the upheaval, you know, sort of the collision of cultures and all the national news issues that are at the forefront nationally now. I mean, they really started here, including the immigration issue. I remember in 1980, you know, I was a reporter in the Mariel boat lift. You know, I mean, 250,000 people arrived within a couple of weeks on the shores of Florida. And of course, the drugs, narcotics, that kind of, and the gun violence, so many national issues. And then, of course, the political issues. I mean, look at 2000, you know, Gore versus Bush or Bush versus Gore. I forget who versus what, but it was a cluster, and it was put on display for the whole country to see how dysfunctional Florida was.
It is kind of a unique place, isn't it? I mean, for some reason, you've kind of become known for mining the bizarre Florida man stories that come out of the state. We got a few of them together here before we talk to you. Florida man tries to burn down ex-boyfriend's house with spaghetti sauce. Titusville grandmother pops out teeth to scare off nude man on back porch. why is Florida so odd?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's a place that people flood into. I mean, they just pour into this place from all over. I mean, you know, you have the retirees from the north, you have the Midwesterners who come down here, then you've got the Caribbean migration. And then, I mean, just like about 3 days ago, someone sent me a story, and it might have been Dave Barry who sent my story. I don't know.
Your friend, yeah.
They tried to fix the homecoming queen election at a school in Pensacola. The assistant principal allegedly hacked into the system and added 100 plus votes for her own daughter to win homecoming queen. I mean, it was literally stop the steal. And I just thought it was hilarious because it's in Matt Gaetz's backyard. And where was he when we needed him?
The congressman, yeah.
You know, you see these stories, and Dave and I joke about this. We don't even have to look at the dateline. We know it's Florida just from the headline.
But, you know, it's also a beautiful place, and it's in peril. Yeah. That's a theme that you've written quite a bit about over the years. And as you look back on that, do you think you've made any difference on that front? Oh. And do you feel like Florida's environment is in good hands?
The answer to the question is no. Anything that's in the hands of the Florida legislature is in slippery hands. And the point whether I made a difference or not, I think anybody who goes into journalism thinking that they're personally going to win a crusade or make a difference is fooling themselves. What you're trying to do is give voice to other people who feel the same way. Let them know they're not the only ones who feel that way and shine a spotlight on important things. And I will say this, that in the time I've started in this business until now, when I first started, as I said in the last column I wrote, no politician ever talked about the Everglades. Nobody pretended to care about the Everglades. And now, if you run for office, not even national office, and you come through Florida, you better have some rhapsodizing to do about the beauty and importance of the Everglades, because it is an apple pie front burner issue now. And that wasn't the case when I was young. So that's changed for the best. But in general, you know, the rape and pillaging of the state by the engine of greed that keeps the state running is still just as strong now as it always has been.
You use the word pillaging, which reminds me of your final column on journalism, the state of journalism right now. You're leaving at a time when, you know, local newsrooms have just been gutted. Yeah. And there's a question about what it even means to report the facts anymore. There was just a capital insurrection, questions that are totally false about election fraud. Where do you leave journalism right now?
Well, I mean, I worry for readers, those of us that are, you know, are retiring or leaving after long, we'll be fine. What I worry about are readers who depend on their local newspapers and media for hometown reporting. What's going on at the zoning board meeting? What's going on at the sewage board meeting? All of a sudden your property taxes went up. How did that happen? Because we don't have enough boots on the ground to cover all the stuff that we used to cover. So people are now finding out about things that changed their lives after the fact and after it's too late to do anything about it. That, I think, is a very sad and troublesome thing. And it's part of it is the economy. Part of it is sort of the internet, what that's done to the, you know, the business model of journalism. And I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that it's very popular to sit here, you can't stand the local paper. Who cares if they go out of business? And then there's a fire at the end of your street and you run out there and the fire truck goes by and nobody's telling you anything. And whose house is burning and how did it happen? Mm. Things that you would have gotten from your local media now. Then all of a sudden it's important to be getting information, you know, when the fire breaks out.
Would you encourage young people to get into the business now?
If they care, I would encourage it. I would never say to them, oh, this is a very prosperous, booming industry to be in. Of course not. The question is, where are they going to land? What is going to be the media platform? What is going to be the landscape for them to be able to do the job, which is simply you go out and get the facts and you get it to the readers. And that's, you know, democracy can't function with an uninformed, you know, population that's just daily under barrage from just nut jobs and conspiracy lunatics. It just can't function like that. You have to have a safe place to go to get real facts.
I'm going to let you go, but first, your buddy, the writer, Dave Barry, who you've already talked about here, said in his column, acknowledging your retirement, said, in all the time I've spent with Carl, I have never known him to not be pissed off about something, which I thought was great and suits you as a journalist and a columnist, right? But what are you going to be pissed off about as you sail off into the sunset?
Probably all the same things. I mean, the environment, the political corruption that we have, all the same things that pissed me off and have since I was a kid. And I'm not going to stop writing. And I have plenty of opportunities to vent. Once you stop being pissed off is when you stop caring, you know, when you've given up and you've walked away. And I'm not doing that. That's never going to happen. Even if I have to somehow master some aspect of the social media to keep it going, I'll do it because Florida is too important. And what's happening here is happening all over the country. This is just, you know, a microcosm of what the whole country's going through right now. So yeah, it's important. And yeah, you got to stay pissed off.
Well, plus I'm sure your fans are looking forward to your next novel, which I think is coming soon. So we'll keep an eye out on that. Author and now former Miami Herald columnist, Carl Hyacin. Carl, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations and good luck with the future.
Yeah. Thanks again, Peter. We'll talk again, I bet.
I hope so.
Take care.